On 88.1 WIPR, I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. As the presidential campaign stumbles towards its conclusion, much of the electorate has grown weary of the coarse rhetoric and caustic tenor of the public discourse surrounding politics and how we govern ourselves. In the heat of an election, it's easy to place the blame for the high level of voter cynicism on elected officials. But in a new book, two scholars from Johns Hopkins University redirect our attention away from the people we vote for to the legions of people hired to administer the programs and policies that lawmakers enact. Jennifer Bochner and Benjamin Ginsberg join me. Their new book is called What Washington Gets Wrong: The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick has a review of the new show at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. That's all coming up on Midday, right after the news. And glad you're with us this afternoon for Midday, everybody. I'm Tom Hall, and we are lurching toward the finish line as the presidential campaign stumbles towards its conclusion. So many people have grown weary of the coarse rhetoric and caustic tenor of the public discourse surrounding politics and how we govern ourselves. Republicans and Democrats alike, from Donald Trump to Bernie Sanders, contend that the system is rigged, and people of color point to example after example of systemic inequality. Congress remains unpopular, and the two major candidates for president engender intense vitriol. Cynicism among voters has never been more pervasive. In the heat of an election, it's easy to place the blame for that on elected officials. But in a new book, two scholars from Johns Hopkins University actually encourage cynicism to a degree, and they redirect our attention away from the people we vote for to the people who have been hired to administer the programs and policies that lawmakers enact. We hire a lot of people for this work if we consider civil servants, members of the armed forces, contract employees, and people doing work for the government as part of organizations that aren't formally part of the government. It adds up to about 14 million people. My guests today contend that many of those people have disdain for the opinions of people that they describe as ordinary Americans. Jennifer Bochner and Benjamin Ginsberg join me in the studio. Jennifer Bochner is the director of the Masters of Science in Government Analytics at Johns Hopkins, and Benjamin Ginsberg is the David Bernstein Professor of Political Science and Chair of Governmental Studies at Hopkins. And they've got a new book. It's called What Washington Gets Wrong: The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. Welcome to you both. Good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
And Ben, it's nice to see you again. We've talked about a couple of your books in the past. And Jennifer, it's great to meet you. Let me start with you, Jennifer. There are about 2.5 million civil servants. You talk about 15 different executive departments and 500 agencies. I mean, it's sprawling. It's a lot. But then if you add all these other people, military and all these, it comes up to 14 million. You talk about a blended workforce. What does that term refer to?
Well, as you may know, a lot of policymaking in D.C. is done by both people who formally work for the government, but then also all of these people who work in what we call the policy community. These are people who work at think tanks or in government affairs department. And many people don't appreciate how much policymaking is undertaken by this blended workforce. There are about 3,000 rules and regulations that are passed every single year by these unelected officials. And these are regulations that govern people's day-to-day lives.
So they're unelected, but they're hired by somebody. Who's giving them these jobs?
Well, they're hired by individual think tanks or lobbyist shops or government contract firms. So the hiring is taking place outside of the government.
But the civil servants that are hired within the government, they're hired by U.S. government agencies, right?
That's true.
Yeah. And as we say, there's about 2.5 million of those. So, Ben Ginsberg, if I understand the thesis of this book correctly, you're saying that many of these folks really hold the opinions of ordinary Americans at some level of contempt. They don't pay attention much. Am I getting that right?
You're getting that absolutely right. We conducted a survey of government officials and other members of what we call the policy community. You know, as many listeners know, if you go into any government agency, you asked about a blended workforce. If you go into the Department of Education, Department of Energy, most of the people you'll see working there are not federal civil servants. They're contractors. And it's very hard for anyone to tell who is what. They work together. And as Jen indicated, taken together, these individuals, their agencies, produce thousands and thousands of pages of what, in effect, is law, federal rules and regulations. They are, for all intents and purposes, the law. If you break one, you'll find out. Congress enacts a handful of laws every year, but these agencies, year after year after year, produce rules and regulations. Now, in principle, these rules and regulations merely implement the will of Congress. But in practice, Congress often writes statutes that are very vague. No one is quite sure what they mean. The agencies decide what they mean. And in practice, the agencies are still writing rules and regulations based on laws that were written many, many, many years ago. For example, last year, the Department of Labor promulgated rules and regulations under the authority of the Taft-Hartley Act. Now, when was the Taft-Hartley Act enacted? Well, in the 1930s.
Now, is that because they needed to reinterpret some of the provisions of the Taft-Hartley Act and update them for 2016, or they really literally took 70 years to get around to it?
Well, it's the former. They thought that the rules should be rewritten. And one of the questions we asked in the book is, under what circumstances do agencies rewrite rules from long ago statutes? Do they write rules based on what the public wants? Do they write rules based on what Congress wants? How about the president? Or do they write rules and regulations based on their own ideas about what's right? And funny, that's what the explanation is. Rules and regulations tend to be related to public officials' ideas about what should be done.
So you're saying that they're not responsive to the will of Congress, they're not responsive to the will of the White House, and they're not responsive even to what is perceived to be public opinion.
Well, they respond to the White House and to Congress to a degree. But remember, there was a wonderful line in de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, which I hope everyone has read. De Tocqueville is describing the Roman emperor, and he says the emperor's power is great, but its reach is short. The emperor can focus on a small number of things, but not very much. And that's the case with president and Congress. They focus in on a few things. If the president says, we will now do this, the bureaucracy does it. But most of what the bureaucracy does allows them to march to the beat of their own drummer. And you know what? Sometimes the bureaucracy writes rules, then Congress is shocked. Do you remember under the Affordable Care Act, the IRS was supposed to write rules governing some of the tax provisions of the act, and they wrote rules about who was and who wasn't eligible for tax benefits? Congress said, no, that's not what we intended. And the IRS said, well, you didn't write the law correctly. We had to reinterpret it. And that happens all the time.
And then, of course, Congress has the option of rewriting a law, right? Changing the law.
They do have that option, but, you know, in Congress today,
as a matter of practice, they don't take that option.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to get a majority in favor of the idea that the marigold is a pretty flower. And as to the courts defer to the agencies on various principles of deference. They say only the agencies really understand the law.
Benjamin Ginsberg from Johns Hopkins University joining us in the studio with Jennifer Bochner. They are together the authors of a new book called What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. It's midday here on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. So, Jennifer, you talk about a thing called false uniqueness. So false uniqueness deals with the difference between the views of these people in the agencies, the government officials, and the views of the public. What does that term mean?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most interesting findings from the survey. We found that government officials display this sense of false uniqueness. And what we mean by that is that they think that they're far different from the American people than they are in reality. And in particular, they think their policy positions differ far more from the average American than they do in reality. And this is in terms of their spending preferences in a variety of policy areas, crime, Social Security, technology. In fact, we found that about 76% of government officials think that they disagree with the average American on most policy issues, when in reality, only 12% disagree. So we think there's a lot more common ground between the government and the people than perhaps is perceived.
So how many people did you talk to? As I understand it, it's fewer than 900, right? About 856, something like that?
Yeah, well, we collected contact information for people who work in the government and in the policy community and invited 2,400 people to participate and received approximately 850 responses, which we think is a very reasonable sample size, given that, you know, usually a sample is about 1,000 people when you're talking about a nationally representative sample. So here we're generalizing to the government and the policy community.
So you gave them a questionnaire that included a lot of questions, right? Some 300 questions or something. This is pretty extensive. If you were going to sign up for this, you were getting into a deep dive, weren't you?
Well, it didn't take respondents that long. When you break everything out, it turned out to be about 300 questions. But the survey itself was, it probably took people about 40 minutes to complete.
And you're the statistician, not me. I don't know anything about your business, but you're comfortable that a sample of 850 people can be representative. It could be extrapolated to give a really accurate view of the 2.5 million civil servants and, you know, as many as 14 million government employees.
Well, I guess a couple of
things.
Seems
like a lot of people in a small sample.
Well, that's true. And it does get into a discussion about appropriate sampling. So when you see the polls flashed across the screen on the broadcast networks these days, you're talking in terms of who's ahead in the election. You're talking about sample sizes often of 500 and sometimes of 1,000. And those are generalizing to all registered voters or likely voters. So here we're talking about a sample size of 850, generalizing to, as you said, between 8 and 10 million. Mm-hmm. And the other thing to keep in mind is that this is one survey. And, you know, we certainly hope that future scholars build upon our work. We think that this is the start of an important conversation.
And Ben Ginsberg, one of the things that struck me as I read this book is this notion of ordinary Americans, you know, the American people. This is a term we hear batted around all the time. Who's an ordinary American? And how do they differ from the people working in these agencies?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. None of us is ordinary. We're all special, right? But if from the perspective of Washington officialdom, there are us and them. And, you know, we asked Washington officials in our 300 questions, we asked them, well, whose views do you take seriously? Whose views do you think are important? Well, they didn't think ordinary Americans outside their own little sphere knew anything. They didn't think members of Congress knew anything, which might be true.
But how do they define ordinary Americans? Who are they talking about?
They're talking about everybody. They're talking about all of us who are not part of official Washington, who are not part of the policy networks in which they operate, people who are outside the bubble that they have erected around themselves. So those are ordinary Americans.
You write that in 2013, 74% of people in the Senate and 68% of people in the House had advanced degrees. Mm-hmm. That differs from 10% of the general public holding advanced
degrees.
Those are
still ordinary Americans because, unlike our officials, they're not privy to the discussions, to the understanding, to the study that public officials think they engage in. They see the world in terms of what they know versus what other people know, and they don't have much confidence in anyone else's views.
You contend that they think basically that Americans are in general kind of uninformed or misinformed.
You know, I remember Jay Leno used to do these man in the street surveys.
I do.
And my favorite one was when he asked people to name a Supreme Court justice, and 22% named Judge Judy, who should be on the Supreme Court, as far as I'm concerned. I like her opinions. But from the perspective of official Washington, that's the American public, people who think Judge Judy is on the Supreme Court.
And Jennifer, you all write in your book yourself, a fair number of Americans lack sufficient understanding of basic political and social realities to understand or adequately evaluate competing political claims and proposals. So that's an assessment that you all have made. Isn't that the same assessment that you're contending that these officials are making?
It is. And I, to be honest, we think that we do need a richer civic education curriculum in high school. And we think there should be a curriculum that focuses on meaningful civic engagement and on how Washington really works, not just on processes like bill passage, which often don't function in any way like they're supposed to. And something else to keep in mind is that we think that even if the American public doesn't know, have an in-depth knowledge of politics because they have other things going on in their lives, it's the responsibility of people who work in Washington to listen carefully and explain themselves fully to the American people in the same way that lawyers, doctors, and accountants are expected to explain themselves to their clients. And we talk about this in terms of government officials having a fiduciary responsibility to the governed.
All right, we're going to pick that up because I'm interested. You make this point about there's a sort of analogy between a doctor talking to an uninformed patient and an agency talking to a potentially uninformed electorate. So we'll pick up on that after we take a quick break. Jennifer Bochner and Benjamin Ginsberg join me today in the studio. Their new book is called What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. You are welcome to join us as well when we come back. 410-662-8780. You can drop us an email, midday@wypr.org, and our Twitter handle, @MiddayTomHall. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad you're with us. By the way, coming up a little later, theater critic J. Wynn Russick pops in for her weekly theater review. Today, she'll give us the scoop on Anne of a Thousand Days. That's the new show at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. And looking ahead to tomorrow's show, a conversation with the two candidates for Congress in Maryland's 2nd District. Incumbent Representative Dutch Ruppersberger has served in the House for 14 years. He's being challenged by Republican State Delegate Pat McDonough, who has represented Baltimore and Harford counties in the Maryland legislature since 2003. They'll join me in the studio for a discussion about the issues facing Maryland and the country. That's tomorrow on Midday. If you're just joining us today, my guests are Jennifer Bochner and Benjamin Ginsberg. The argument they make in their new book is, frankly, downright depressing. It's called What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. So what do you think of the notion that civil servants are out of touch and unresponsive to the needs and concerns of the taxpayers who pay their salaries? Is America overregulated? And if so, who's behind that? The elected representatives who make the laws or the civil service employees who interpret and enforce them? Give us a call, 410-662-8780. Send us an email, midday@wypr.org, or send us a tweet. Our handle is @MiddayTomHall. So Ben Ginsberg, let's pick up where we left off before the break. This notion, this analogy between a doctor who's talking to a kind of uninformed patient and an agency who's talking to a putatively uninformed electorate.
When you talk to your doctor, chances are you don't know nearly as much about medicine as the doctor does. But most physicians have been trained to understand that they need to explain to patients what the issues are, what the possibilities are, and to listen to the patient's needs and views. Moreover, there's a way of disciplining doctors. There might be another doctor across the street if the one that you talk to doesn't adequately explain things to you. In the case of government officials, this kind of fiduciary responsibility is lacking. Most government officials don't see themselves as having to explain anything to anyone. They believe that they know what's best and that they're going to do it.
But and believe that there's no accountability? No, I mean, there is a Congress, there is a White House, there is a press.
There should be more accountability, but there's not that much. As to the press generally focuses on the president and on Congress and doesn't drill down into the depths of the bureaucracy where policy is actually made. I know very few reporters who are happy to have the Department of Energy beat. But a lot of things are done in the Department of Energy that are very important. As to Congress, sure. Congress does potentially have the power to discipline the bureaucracy, but it's not very good at it.
Finish your thought.
And the president, the president does have enormous power, but its range is limited. The president can only focus in on a few small things at a time. So generally, academics talk about congressional and presidential oversight as fire alarm oversight. If someone loudly rings the fire bell and says, help me, they'll look into it. But most of the time, the bureaucracy proceeds along doing its own thing.
I mean, the Defense Department, for example, asking for the money back of the bonuses that were given to people who served in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And look how much it took before the Defense Department recognized that this was a very bad thing to
do. And
it
was the press who broke that story.
It was the press who broke it.
The LA Times.
But for every story like that, there are 100 stories that aren't told.
Maybe. Let's go to the phones. John from Bell Camp, welcome to Midday with Jennifer Bochner and Benjamin Ginsberg. Glad you called.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've had a couple of brushes with Department of Defense contracting. I've found the average federal worker to be very diligent and committed. My alarm is with senior executive service officers who seem more engaged in empire building than in anything else. I've met and known senior SES officers who don't frankly care what the directors of their agencies are about or want, because they know those directors of agencies are going to be gone in a couple of years. And basically, they have permanent jobs like Supreme Court justices. Seems to me they have way too much power, and I wish something could be done about that.
What is the senior executive service? What's their function, Jennifer? What do they do?
Well, they run these agencies, and as the caller notes, they're often in their position for years, sometimes decades. I think this is an important point, and it speaks to one of the solutions that we offer in our book, which is that we think government agencies should be more spread out across the country. And we don't mean just sort of pro forma. We don't mean just having small outposts around the country, but spread out in a meaningful way. We don't think policymaking needs to all be centered in D.C. And if we could break up.
So physically sending them out around the country would improve things.
I think so. I think it would have a variety of benefits. It would put, well, as you noted, essentially it would put people who run these agencies in closer contact with ordinary Americans. They would rub shoulders with the people who they're regulating. You know, when people work and interact socially in the same environment and essentially live in a bubble, they start to get entrenched in their views. And we think that these agencies would benefit greatly from an infusion of a fresh perspective. The Patent and Trademark Office is a great example of how this can be done. This agency has set up offices around the country in a real way and put patent examiners in pretty close contact with the inventors. And people have reacted very positively to this.
So, Ben Ginsberg, what about the argument that says so-called ordinary Americans, if they don't have particular erudition or expertise in the minutia of law and policy that we should have, you know, at the Environmental Protection Agency or Commerce or the Department of Energy, why would we want people who have no reason to be informed about these things to have, you know, strong opinions about how those departments should be run? Isn't it a good thing to have career civil service people who study it, who work at it, who understand it, suggesting what the rules and regulations should be?
Well, you know what? I don't want to perform surgery, but I do want my surgeon to be concerned with me and to ask me what my desired outcome would be and give me some alternatives. I don't want to do the surgery, but I want help in understanding my situation. And, you know, the caller is absolutely right. We have career officials who are often in office for 30 years. You know, everyone complains about Congress, talks about term limits. The average length of service for a member of the House is 8 years. The average length of service for a senior civil servant is nearly 30 years.
And why is that bad?
Because they lose sight of why they're there. They lose
Couldn't
sight
they
of the
also
fact.
Gain knowledge and,
sure,
and
they
erudition?
Gain, absolutely. They gain knowledge, but they lose sight of its purpose. Okay? They are public servants. Their job is to work for us, not to go off on their own trajectory. When you consider the regulatory agenda in Congress, the regulatory agenda in these agencies is very different. And what people think is important, nobody seems to care about that. So in my view, what we need actually is more politics intruding into the bureaucracy. You know, Andrew Jackson used to say, any American can do the work of any agency. Well, maybe he was a little off. But we need to have more officials who are attuned to the political process and attuned to what to public opinion. You know, the caller mentioned that agency directors, who are usually political appointees, are ignored by the people who really run the agency. Well, let's have more political appointees so that public opinion and politics will have more of an impact on the agencies.
Benjamin Ginsberg and Jennifer Bochner are here with me in the studio. The new book is called What Washington Gets Wrong, the Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. Let's go back to the phones. Craig in Baltimore, welcome to Midday. Thanks for your call.
Good morning, or afternoon, rather. This comes down to, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the doctrine of void for vagueness, that a law must be explicit when it's put into place. The Americans with Disabilities Act was a perfect example, because I remember to this day when it was signed, and they said, and they were questioned about what are the provisions of this law, and the answer was, we'll let the courts decide that. In other words, there were no safe harbors defined and violations defined in the law itself. And that's Congress is in derogation of their duty by passing laws that aren't explicit, and because they pass so many laws, and then they let these unelected bureaucrats write the rules and regulations, and even if they're good rules and regulations, the political process is out of it. And Congress, because most politicians don't want responsibility for the laws they pass. They like to have their names attached to laws. And you had somebody on earlier talking about Megan's Law and how that ruins people. But whoever sponsored it, you know, got up there and grinned when that was being passed, and without knowing the full consequences of how many unemployable people a law like that creates.
All right. Well, Craig, thank you for your call. Jennifer, you note in the book that there's a difference in the chasm between civil servants and those in Congress or the White House. In other words, people tend to have more faith in the responsiveness of Congress, and then one would assume congressional staffers, who are often the people who are writing these laws, and the White House. They seem to be more highly held in higher regard than people who work at Treasury or DOD or something like that.
That's absolutely right. We found that congressional staffers simply come into contact more with ordinary Americans. It's part of their daily job. And we wish that government officials would likewise come into greater contact with ordinary Americans. And we propose a few ways that this can be done. One thing to think about is the curricula of public administration programs. Right now, these programs focus solely on management, leadership, budgeting, and these types of courses. And we think there should be greater emphasis in these courses on how to communicate with the public and how to learn about the public. You know, for example, I run a government analytics program, and analytics is indeed one way that government officials can digest a lot of the information that they do receive from the public, but frankly, right now they ignore. And I'm referring to this notice and comment period. You know, right now agencies do receive a lot of comments from the public, but often they go ignored. The FCC is an example of one agency that is using analytics to make sense of these comments. In fact, they receive 3 million of them. They're using natural language processing to be precise.
So, Ben Ginsberg, when it comes to, you know, people being out there and, you know, having contact with the hoi polloi, you know, talking to actual ordinary Americans, one comment that you make in the book is you say, for example, you bring up the fact that when they polled people this year, about 64% of Democrats said that a Trump administration would be a terrible thing, and 56% of Republicans thought it would be good or great. But you make the comment that few Americans have met Mr. Trump, implying that how can they possibly come to a conclusion because they haven't met Donald Trump. Isn't it possible to know something about Donald Trump without having personally met him?
Yeah, we know too much about him already. In the case of members of the bureaucracy, it would be possible for them to know more about the American people, but the survey suggests that they don't. And the survey that we did suggests that federal officials have a very, very low opinion of ordinary Americans, a worse opinion than is correct. And we think that they might benefit from being put in a position where they would meet ordinary Americans on a daily basis. You know, state and local bureaucracies are a little different from the federal. In most states, and certainly at the city and county level,
yeah, they're closer to the ground.
They're closer to the ground. And a lot of research shows that they're better attuned to citizens' ideas and citizens' needs than are the officials who live inside the Beltway bubble.
Yeah, it's complicated because, you know, there are 41%, for example, of Republican ordinary Americans that still to this day believe that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. I mean, according to polls. And so that is just factually inaccurate. It's been proven time and again, and they refuse to think differently. So these are ordinary Americans who perhaps their opinion in this regard needs to be discarded.
Their opinion needs to be educated rather than simply discarded. And again, you know, I don't have to tell you, when people go to the doctor, they present the most outlandish ideas about what their problems might be. And the doctor doesn't say, okay, you're an idiot,
yeah,
and I'm just going to ignore you.
But if in 2016 there are still people who, you know, have an ossified view of that particular issue, you wonder what sort of education would move that needle. Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Towson, thanks for calling Midday.
Thank you very much. Great show. Just what I heard about Obama and the belief that he is born in Kenya, that's an emotional decision. That's not rational. So if you can fix that, fine. But anyway.
And it's counterfactual.
What? Pardon me?
It's counterfactual.
Yeah, well, it's also an emotional decision on the part of the citizen. He needs to believe that. Anyway, my general statement was that we get what we deserve. We're not too terribly educated, you know. Gosh, my mother came here in 1935 from Greece and had the equivalence of a two-year college education when she stepped on the shores here.
How could we be better educated, Jim? What do you think?
Oh, gosh. Take all these cells, these cells and games that the kids run around with and just throw them in a pit.
Well, that's one theory, Jim. Well, thank you for your call. But, Jennifer, you guys do in this book have opinions about what could be done in terms of civic education. You say that the civic education we're currently providing is inadequate. And it's inadequate in what way?
That's exactly right. I think that, well, first of all, there needs to be more civic education in high schools and at the college level, of course. Oftentimes, civic education is wrapped up into history, which is a different subject. So I would love to see more civic education stand on its own in the high school curriculum. And then in terms of the content, I think that more emphasis needs to be placed on, as I sort of noted earlier, you know, how Washington really works, the real political processes that are undertaken, and how policymaking really works, how it's done in the bureaucracy and it's influenced by people in the policy community. You know, there's so much emphasis on the formal processes that are in place, like how a bill becomes a law. But of course, bills are not passed these days, according to textbook theory.
And Ben Ginsberg, you call for term limits, essentially, on bureaucratic careers. You call for relaxation of civil service protections because you think that some people who are inadequate at their jobs are protected by unions or by the civil service code. These are pretty radical suggestions that you know have been considered in the light of the Constitution and often not considered favorable.
Well, civil service isn't in the Constitution. It's a statute. I call for an expansion of Schedule C. And Schedule C is the set of rules under which presidents are able to send key officials into the agencies. Right now, there are a relatively small number of Schedule C appointees. We say there should be more because this is the way that presidential, congressional, and public priorities can be introduced into federal agencies, which otherwise march along according to their own priorities. As one caller told us before, the senior executive service is convinced that it knows what is best, and it doesn't even much care what these darn political appointees think.
I think it somehow comes down to, sort of a faith in the system that we have. Roger in Columbia, we're going to finish up with you. We're running out of time, but thanks for your call. What's your quick comment?
My comment is I was a governmental official in Missouri, Department of Natural Resources, and we parks, pollution, all those issues. And we were desperate to tell the public what we're doing. We wanted to push it out, flyers and public service announcements. So this idea that people who work, and I'm familiar most with parks and EPA and that, are kind of not care about public opinion, don't want to be that helpful doctor. My experience is we're desperate to get it out, and it's just hard to get it out in all the noise of political and other aspects of life.
All right. Well, Roger, thank you for your call. I got to say, you know, I am a bit skeptical about the conclusions you reach in your book, because my own personal experience with people who are in the government, particularly the Department of Treasury, whom I happen to know, are very dedicated people who very, very much care about what's going on in the body politic. So I'm interested in your conclusions, and I hope you're wrong.
Well, dedication is good. We'd like dedicated public servants, but we'd also like them to be dedicated to understanding what it is the public needs.
All right. Jennifer Bochner and Benjamin Ginsberg, their new book is called What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. We've got a link to more information on our website, WIPR.org/midday. By the way, there's an event at the Hopkins Washington Center on November 10th around the book. Come to our website and we'll have details on that. You're listening to Midday here on 88.1 WIPR. And by the way, we are very grateful that you're doing that. Stay with us. Theater critic J. Wynn Russick is on the way with her weekly theater review. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around.